I'm not sure where to do that. I'm going to put that there for now. My name is Pastor Carmen. If we haven't met, I'm kind of the junior, most recent member on our pastoral team here, and it is a privilege to be part of that team. It was a couple weeks ago when Pastor Rob asked me to speak this morning. For those of you that don't know, they moved this last week. And for those of us that were present during the move, we're still trying to figure out where our tiger bomb is. Because I'm not 20 anymore, and moving and lifting is, I'm paying for it a little bit. I don't know how my husband is feeling, but I'm paying for it a little bit. But anyways, when he asked me to speak this morning, I was really excited. And when I began to pray about it, I really felt impressed upon my heart to talk about what it means to be rooted, built up, and established in Christ. And this topic is becoming increasingly important for me because as I continue to interact with people in various walks of life and in various stages of their journey, I see an alarming amount of people not understanding their relationship with Christ and in Christ, not understanding the truths that Christ says about them, the truth that we have a new life in Christ, the truth about what it means and the truths about what it means to live a holy life, and the truth that our life is to be deeply rooted, established, and grown in Christ. And as a pastor, as a pastoral leader, this actually really concerns me because this idea of not being properly rooted and not properly built up and anchored in Christ leads to something. And it leads to a fall. And sometimes we fall hard when we're not properly rooted and anchored. In addition to that, I think that many people are missing out on the abundant life that is found in Christ and through Christ. And in fact, if we have been in church for any length of time, and it's okay if you're new here today and some of this stuff is all new to you, and you're not aware of it. But for those of us that have been around for a while, we know from Jesus's teaching that what we are to build our life upon is a solid foundation. We're to be rooted, grounded, if you will, in the right places. This truth is found in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 29. Let me read it for us. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the religious law. I'd like to share with you two visual examples of things not properly rooted and what happens to things when they're not properly rooted. And for today's purposes, we're going to call this Carmen's Backyard Examples 101. The winds came beating. Now, what you're seeing here is a very small glimpse of where I intend to spend a significant amount of my time this summer. Well, sort of. I had this little deck set up. Oop, whoa, let me back up. So this little wooden deck here, my husband built for me a number of years ago to go with my travel trailer, and I used to take it out with me when I went camping. Now I've put it in my backyard, and I intend to spend some time there. And the reason for that is I actually, during the year, spend an increasingly amount of time away from home. And I love that. Like, I love to travel. But I don't like to necessarily leave home anymore when I don't have to. So all I wanted this summer was to be near my hubby and my dog, Bella Grace. I'm going to have to bring a picture for you next time because she's my seventh child. She's a little Jackaweenie. She's not in this picture. She will spend some time there with me this summer. But anyways, all I wanted to do was set myself up to spend some time at home this summer. I wanted to linger in the presence of God and nature. I wanted to linger near my husband, even though he might be out in the barns milking the cows or whatever he had to do. I just wanted to be home without the pressure of being somewhere. Now, to be fair, I recognize for some of you, you know, my illustrations might be a bit lame, but I'm learning and I'm okay to be lame at times. But I wanted to find some sort of illustration to go with my sermon because Pastor Rob always has these great stories and jokes and, you know, I'm a bit competitive. So I'm trying to learn and stretch myself. Now, here's what I want you to know about Rudas. See this umbrella? Well, you might not know, but that is actually an umbrella right there. And it is actually anchored into this thing is a huge weight. Like, it's so heavy, and I'm getting older that I now make my kids pick that up. But the winds blew and toppled that thing right over. And here I thought it was rooted and rooted well, and it toppled over. Here's what I actually want my summer to look like. Now, everything's still kind of closed up, but pretty soon the umbrellas are going to come out, the chairs are going to be out, and anyways, I'm really excited about that. So if you wonder where I am this summer, that's where I'll be, in my backyard. That's how I wanted the setup to look. Here's another thing of not being properly rooted. This is my laundry line pole. So this was a summer project a number of years ago that I got impatient about. So instead of waiting for my awesome, smart, good-looking, very kind husband, see, I have to make sure that he knows how I feel because I've got a few summer projects that I'm going to wait for him for this summer. I went ahead and I actually hired somebody to come and do this because I was a bit impatient. I really wanted to hang the laundry on the line. There's something about that. Well, not the farm smell, but when the farm doesn't stink, you know, and the wind's blowing through and you get that fresh summer scent, I wanted a pole. So I put an ad on Kijiji and I hired someone to come and do a pole. They dug a hole in the ground, put the pole in the ground, and put the dirt back in the ground. Now, for some of you handy type people, you're already laughing at me because you know that that pole actually, if it was going to stay standing upright, actually should have been cemented, right? So instead, what's happening is that thing is not properly rooted and every year it's going like this. And to my awesome hubby, it's on this summer's fix list. And I'm going to be patient because I don't want to have a leaning pole. And like this pole wasn't properly anchored, or like the weight wasn't enough to keep that umbrella standing upright, I sometimes think my spiritual life is like that. You see, when I don't understand why or how, I kind of find myself leaning in the wrong direction or toppled over or blown away because I've not allowed my roots to go deep in Christ. And now maybe you're like that too. Maybe you've longed to understand what it means to be rooted and built up and established in Christ. Perhaps you've wondered if there are things that you might need to keep doing, stop doing, start doing. Maybe you found yourself with your hands to your heads just praying something like this. God, I really long, and I long to know you more, but I don't even know where to start. Or maybe you found yourself thinking, God, I feel like I'm leading such a weak life. So weak, in fact, that if the storm came right now, I'm not sure I would weather them or weather it. And maybe, just maybe, I might be finding myself wrestling between wanting to follow you and wanting to run the other direction. Hear me, brothers and sisters. There have been lots of people before us, and there will be lots of people after our lives are done that are going to wrestle with these very same things. I think of Peter who thought he was really rooted, right? And he promised never to deny Jesus. And yet we find him doing that very thing. Thank goodness for God's restoration in Peter's life. And thank goodness for God's word that can shed some light for us on this whole idea of being rooted, built up, and established. And praise God for people like Paul who wanted Jesus' followers to understand God's mysterious plans, wisdom, and who wanted us to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Let's look together at Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, and I'm going to read the passage for us because we're going to glean together some important truths from here. I want you to know, starts Paul, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. But you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ and he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory and over them on the cross, and by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. And they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Some rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. The rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering. Sorry. but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. So let's explore this idea of being rooted, of letting our roots go down deep in Jesus. And I actually want to start today in verse 6, where Paul says to the believers, so that just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Paul is reminding these believers that they didn't just receive an understanding about Christ. Paul is saying to them, you've received Christ himself into your life. You've received, as one scholar writes, you have received once and for all the spirit of life in Christ. Carry into practice that life in your walk. You see, the whole of the Christian life starts with Christ and ends with Christ. The whole of the Christian life is lived by the Spirit's power, and we are to keep in step with the Spirit. You see, your life, when you said yes to Jesus, is now rooted in Jesus. It's a state of being continually anchored and being in Christ. In Ephesians, it says this, and I don't have it up on the screen, so I'm going to read it for you, because sometimes, you know, after you write a message, you add a few extra details in, but you've already sent the PowerPoint off. So I'm going to read this for us. In Ephesians, it says this, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit is God's seal in your life. The Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. You see, we're like a plant that is rooted in the ground. But in our case, our life is rooted in a new being. It's rooted in a living being called the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rooted in Christ. It's part of our adoption into the family of God. We're in movement with Christ. To walk with Christ is to be occupied with Christ. It's to have Christ as our companion. And to be rooted in Christ means we are to focus on Christ as the source of the strength, of our rootedness. I'll expand on this a little more later because something else happens as a result of this rootedness. But we're to be rooted in Christ as the source of the strength of our rootedness. And once we're rooted, something else begins to happen. We are being built. Being built implies this progressive growth in Christ. To be built up in something is to be made more able in something. In the Greek, to be built upon or to be built up also means this, and I love this, to increase the potential of someone or something with focus upon the process involved. It's to strengthen. It's to make more able. It's to build up. And it is so vitally important for us to remember that we are built up in something. Being in Christ. Being in Christ. This word implies this. It is the marker of a close personal association. We're in Christ. We're one with, we're in union with, we're joined closely to when we are in Christ. And when we are tending to the relationship with Christ, this close association we have because of the Spirit, when we are tending to our union with Christ, there are very likely going to be some toxic weeds that will need to be uprooted and pulled out. Why? Because once we were bound to the power of sin, but now we are no longer. We have a new life in Christ, a new power, if you will, and we are anchored in the power of Almighty God. 1 Peter says this, For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. We need to let God's word nourish us. You see, just like certain plants need certain types of food or fertilizers, we also, as growing, living humans, need certain types of nourishment. The next thing that Paul talks about is the growing strong of our faith, or to be established into something. Other translations, like the CSB, for example, translate Paul as saying this: established in your faith. So you got to let your roots go down. You got to be built up, and you got to be established in your faith. This idea of being established in our faith, it means to increase in inner strength, with the implication of greater firmness of character or attitude. It's to be strengthened in one's heart. It's to be built up in him and receiving more inner strength in your faith. To be established in him is, it's got this sense of to cause someone to be stronger in the sense of more firm and unchanging in attitude or belief. It's to make more firm. Why do we need this? Why is God, through Paul's writing here, telling us that these things matter? Here are a couple thoughts from the chapter that we read and some of the overarching themes in Scripture. Here are some thoughts. There are going to be deceptive teachings in this world. And the only way that we will not be led astray is by continuing to let our roots go deep in Christ, and by being built up, and by having our faith strengthened. We need, brothers and sisters, we need to be made more firm. We need more inner strength. We need to be strengthened in our heart. As humans, I think we have this tendency to want to fix ourselves and to prove ourselves, or maybe even to punish ourselves, right? I'm not enough. We want to be the Lord of our own life. And it is a proven fact that any time we've tried to do those things, we land ourselves up in trouble. I'm looking forward to talking to Adam and Eve one day. I think there's lots to admire about their story, and there's lots that I'm curious about. But any time we've taken a step and tried to do it our own way, we land up in trouble. And Paul rightly tells us that in Christ we've been made complete. Not only have we been made complete, we've been made to come alive in him. And the world tells us all kinds of lies, but the truth about who we are, whose we are, and how we ought to live are found in Christ and Christ alone. We need to be rooted, built up, and established, because we know that life in this in-between time is hard. It's really hard. Shirley knows, right? It's hard. And being found in Christ, being built up in Christ, and having our faith grown and continuing to be grown in Christ is what will help us endure until Christ returns. We need to be strengthened. You know why? Because I think we need courage and a growing faith to continue to follow Christ, to keep showing up, to keep saying yes to the things that God has asked you to do, to not diminish, but to come out and be all that God has asked you to be. So how do we go about this happening to us? We need to remember and keep on remembering the things that Christ has said. We must continue to follow Jesus and to learn from him and about him. I love that song that we sang this morning about, man, I just want to stay here in your presence. We need to be nourishing ourselves with the right substance. Like I already said, like any living thing, we need the right nourishment in order to grow. We need to be choosing Jesus over all other voices and believing what he says and obeying what he asks us to do. And I think for some of us, and this is true of me, and this is why my summer is very slow. Some of us need to slow down so we can be reminded, so that we can hear, so that we can reflect. You see, growth takes time. And here's another way I think that this idea of growing and flourishing and being established is going to happen. Do you know what? We need to help each other. We need to help each other reach our full potential. And we can do that in a couple of ways. We can do that by engaging in the word together. We can do that by encouraging one another, praying for one another, being present with one another, reminding each other of the truth. And as we continue to be built up in Christ, as we continue to become strong on the inside, as our faith continues to strengthen and deepen, Paul says something else happens to us. He says, as we continue on this journey, as we continue to grow stronger, we will begin to overflow with thankfulness. I did a little word search on that thankfulness, and I like this word. Because to overflow means to superabound or to excel in thankfulness. We're going to have more than enough. It's going to be over and above. And that over and above and that superabound thankfulness is going to ooze out of our lives, and it's going to show up in the words that we speak to one another. It's going to show up in the steps that we take in our life, and it's going to show up in the praise that we direct to God as an act of worship. So let me wrap up by going back to our main verses for today, and allow me to reread them for us as a reminder, as an encouragement to our soul. I'm going to invite the worship team back up as I'm doing this. Colossians 2, verse 6. And now, just as you have received Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots go down deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow. You will superabound with thankfulness. Let me pray. God, thank you for your word this morning. God, continue to teach us this week and beyond what it means to have our lives rooted, deeply rooted in you. God, show us the ways that we are being built up and the things that we need to do to allow you to nourish us and the right substances that we need in our life to grow. God, make us strong, firm. And Lord, let us superabound with thankfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.